Let's begin from Parshas Bo with a very strange set of psukim. And these psukim are very familiar to us from the Haggadah Shel Pesach, but yet they seem to challenge our curiosity. If you remember from the Haggadah, who is the son? Which son is identified with this?
Russia.
The Russia, correct. And then it says, "Vamartem." You know, give him an answer. What's his answer? Zevach Pesach Hashem. That this avoda is the avodas hakorban Pesach. Asher Pesach al bote bnei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim benogfo es Mitzrayim vespatenu itzil vayikod ha'am vayishtachu. So let's ask a number of questions. The first question we want to ask is, if this is indeed the Ben HaRosha, then why do we give him an answer in Agada, Afato Hake Yeshinov, and Marlo say to him, Bavur Zasali, leave a lo, Ilu Hoysham Loya Nigal? A very strong and very sharp answer. It doesn't seem to reflect the parsha which says, Vamatim Zerach Pesach Hashem. Second question, which Rashi addresses, is what is Vayikod Ha'am Vayishtachu? Rashi says that what were they excited about? Number one, Al Besoras HaGu'ula. Number two, Al Bias HaOretz. And number three, Al Besoras HaBonin. Besoras HaBonin. Shia Lehem. It's a little bit odd, especially the last of the three, Besoras HaBonim, you know, of all places that they respond with such excitement for finding out that they'll have children, of all places, it's right here, the Ben HaRosha. You know, you would think that a person who finds out, like Chizkiyahu HaMelech found out that he would have a son who's a Rosh, he wasn't very excited about that. In fact, he didn't even want to get married for that reason. So it's somewhat paradoxical that Vayikodam Vayishtachu, and Rashi wants to tell us that they responded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with such praise and gratitude and thanksgiving. I can understand Besoras HaGu'ul, I can understand Bias HaAretz, but in the context of a Ben HaRosha, if that's what you're offering me, I don't know that the Besoras HaBonim is such a wild, exciting idea. But let's get down to brass tacks over here. This whole idea of Pesach.
Sorry. You feel trying to call you, but your sound's turned off yourself.
Oh, for sure. Okay, let's see.
Let's see, just call me. That's
what I know. See, it's a question of the Chacham as well.
Well, again, there's another parsha in the Torah. There's another parsha in the Torah for the Ben HaChacham. I don't have that in front of me right now.
Yeah.
But this parsha is certainly the parsha of the Ben HaRosha. So it's a little bit odd that Dafka at this juncture, at this particular crossroads, when the Ben HaRosha is presenting his Ma'avodah Zos Lachem, at that point,
funny.
We get the Besoras HaBonim, and when, wow, we're going to have children. You know?
I understand, but it's just funny, because, you know, like, there's a thing, like, there's a story of a guy who goes... decides to start learning Tehillim, and he started learning Tehillim, and he says, and his wife says, so what do you think? He says, what do you think? They took it off from the sitter, right? They took it off from the sitter. It's the same thing. We took from the Torah and we made it into the Russia. Why is it where it seems like the question is backwards? You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, maybe you're right, Joe. I don't know. Maybe we should be asking in a different sort of way. But it is a little bit funny that, you know, the Baal HaGadah is putting together the Lachem V'lo in this context when Rashi says, Vayikod Ha'am Vayishtachu, you know, that they were so excited and thrilled about Besoras HaBonim. But here's the real question. And this is a question about, you know, a material, physical description of God. How could there be a description of God as Asher Pasach al Bote B'nei Yisrael B'mitzrayim? What does that mean, Pasach? Rashi says that the carbon itself is called Pasach al Shem Hadilug V'hapsicha. That God, Kaviyachol, jumps over and skips over the Bote Yisrael. Rashi goes into great detail. He says, you have a base mitzri on your right, you have a base mitzri on the left, there's a Jewish house in the middle, and Hashem, and Rashi used the word, kofetz, medaleg v'kofetz, from one house over to the other, from one mitzri house over to the other mitzri house, with the Jew in the middle. That's a little bit hard to understand. Exactly, you know, if God made a decision that these people should die and these people should live, I'm not sure if he has to jump around, you know. But the more pressing question is that Rashi at the end of this presentation says, "V'atem asu kol avodosov l'shem shamayim." Okay, one question we can answer. Where's Rashi coming from? Rashi says all our avodah should be for the sake of heaven. Well, I understand where he's coming from. The pasuk says Pesach hu Lashem. So whenever we see the word Lashem, it always indicates L'shem Hashem, L'shma. So Rashi feels compelled now to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only explaining the karbon and why it's called the carbon pesach because of the dilug and the kvitza, but Rashi also wants to explain why is it that it's Lashem. What was the extra emphasis here, Lashem? And Rashi says that all the avoda of the carbon pesach should be Lashem. Now, you could understand that. Maybe a person could bring a carbon pesach and have the wrong intentions, but yet, how do you understand the context here? The context here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, why is this called a Pesach? And the answer is because God jumps. And then you tell me, Lashem, that all the avodah should be Lashem Shamayim. Is there any connection here? Is there any logical, thematic connection between the Reisha and the Seifa? You're telling me about the Psicha and the Diluk. What does that have to do with Kol Avodosav L'Shem Shamayim? There must be some sort of conceptual connection here between the Psicha, the Dilug, and the Kol Avodosav L'Shem Shamayim. The last question on our list, and maybe we'll make a summary of all the questions that we asked, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something to Moshe, and Moshe adds a whole piece on his own. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, V'lachu min Adam, V'nasnu al shtei mezuz al mashkof al abatim asher yochlo osam bahem. And then Hashem says, V'risi es Adam u'pasachti aleichem. Moshe adds another piece. And he says, V'atem al teitzu ish mi pesach beso adam boker. Why would Moshe Rabbeinu add something to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said? I mean, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant to say it, why didn't he say it? If he left it out, it means it was not unnecessary. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu felt compelled to say it, so why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say it? There's some lack of clarity here. So let's just summarize. Our first question was, is this really the Ben HaRasha? When the answer that we're giving him is Vamartem Zevach Pesach Hashem, that sounds like a very intelligent lumdisha answer to somebody who's a tzaddik or a chacham. And yet, at least from the Haggadah perspective, the subject here of Amar Avodah Zos Lachem is the Ben HaRasha. And the second part of that question is, why do they get so excited about the Besoros Habonim, as Rashi would have it, when they're being told here that the, you know, the profile of your son is going to be Ma'avodah Zos Lachem? He's a Ben Rasha. Now, our response in the Haggadah to Ben Rasha is Afa Tohaki Ashino. I mean, that has nothing to do with what it says here in the parasha Then we want to know what is the connection here between Dilug and indicating the name of Pesach and Lashem, that kol nasu kol avodos of Lashem Shamayim. Is there a connection here? We want to understand why the Almighty, who's infinite, would have to jump around over here. That doesn't make any sense. Let him just decide who will live and who will not. And then we ask the question, why does Moshe feel compelled to add something to the tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'atem lo teitzu ish mi Pesach beis adam boker? Now, there's a Gemara Bava Kama in the Sugya of Eish, as one of the four Mazikin, that quotes a brisa of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef brings a brisa on this very pasuk, v'atem lo teitzu ish mi Pesach beis adam boker, a very famous statement, Mikavon shenitan reshus lamashchus, eino mavchin bein tzadikim l'rishoyim. That Moshe Rabbeinu added this command because he, Moshe Rabbeinu, comprehended how dangerous the situation is. The mashchus is given a green light, and he could take the life of even someone who's a tzaddik, who doesn't deserve to die. Now, in and of itself, that's very difficult. Why? How does the mashkes get the power to take the life of someone who's not worthy of dying? He's a tzaddik. I mean, we discussed this in the past. You remember when we spoke about Yosef in the bar, the whole question of absolute freedom of choice and so forth. It still remains a little bit strange that, at least according to the whole school of Achronim, who maintain as a principle that anyone who dies is because he's guilty of something, that, you know, in this case, the mashkis is eino mavchim ben tzaddik l'rasha. I mean, we're not talking about someone who's guilty, we're talking about a tzaddik. But furthermore, there's a theory here between two parshios, because in the parsha of Avram Avinu and Stone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts the argument of Avram, chalila l'cha me'asos k'dav razeh l'hamis tzaddik in Russia. Now the word Lahamis means that Damascus is out there. You know, he's out there destroying stone and taking the lives of hopefully Rishoyim and not tzaddikim. Chalil l'chamei asos k'dover azeh Lahamis tzaddik in Russia. It means that there's no principle here that Damascus has a green light and therefore he can take the life of a tzaddik. God is the ultimate shofet. Why would he allow for such a terrible, catastrophic thing that the mashlis gets the right to take even the life of a tzad?
Another question.
Yeah, please. Nick.
So maybe you can say, not to ask this, but a possible alternative shot. It could be like Mike's wife was told not to look at the destruction because they were somewhat guilty of all kinds of stuff anyway, right? So they weren't really tzaddikim in the first place. It's the same thing over here. So what you're saying, don't be like Lot's wife who looked at the destruction about this story too.
No, you're right. I'm not saying that every last Jew who got out of Mitzrayim was a tzaddik, for sure not. But the Chazal, the Medrash that we see, which Rashi actually quotes in Chumash, and it all comes from a sugya in Bava Kama, calls them tzaddikim, meaning we're focused on a tzaddik. There's even a story in a Medrash where a young boy comes home and he doesn't see the dam on the mashkof, and he right away runs to his tati and he says, "Dad, well, what happened over here?" So his father immediately runs out to put the dam there. He says he was so confused he forgot to put the dam there. And Rashi says here in the name of the Gemara that Eino Mavchim Bein Tzaddik L'Rosha. I'm not saying every last Jew David was a tzaddik, but the idea here is being conveyed that even a tzaddik would not be spared from the mashkes, and that's antithetical to what Avraham Avinu claims, that if you have a tzaddik in stone, then there's no reason why he should lose his life. Unless the rules of the game change before Yetzias Mitzrayim, after Yetzias, I don't know. Actually, we're talking before Yetzias Mitzrayim, so I don't think the rules of the game should change. Now,
Hashem also told Moshe Rabbeinu himself, So you see where maybe their Shriach Hezekah, Moshe Rabbeinu himself had to be guaranteed by the Ribbono Shel Olam that he doesn't have to worry.
Right. Because there is this principle called Mashkes. You know. But how do we understand the operation of Mashkes? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shofet Kol HaAretz, Yasem Mishpat. Does it make sense that he would give over the keys of life and death to the Mashkes to such an extent that the Mashkes is going to take the life of someone who's guiltless? How does that work? Again, if I don't know if we'll get to the answer to that question, because that's about four pages down the line, and I don't think we have that much time. Of course, I'm willing to meet with you again this week if you like. You know, tomorrow I'm actually pretty free at this time, but okay, fine. Now, we're going to start our discussion here with a Rashi in Parshas Yisro. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu use this mashal of kanfei nisharim? And Rashi explains that the nesher is the bird that soars the highest in the air. And the nesher is only afraid of man, because man has no other bird can endanger, jeopardize the life of the nesher, but man can. Because man has the ability to shoot an arrow. And the nesher then, at that point, takes its young on top of its back as it's flying. And mutav yikones hachetz bi v'lo b'bni. He's willing to accept, the father is willing to accept the arrow in his body in order to protect his young. And Rashi says that all this is a mashal. The nimshal is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the enemies of the Jewish people will send out their chitzim, in this case the Mitzrim, and Avnei Blistoros, all these big gigantic cannonball, you know, stone balls. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to receive these blows. Just like the Nesher says, I'm going to catch the chetz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let it go into me. Be v'lo b'banai. So the Kuznetzer in Avodas Yisrael asked the following question. God is in charge of the entire universe. Nothing happens without His okay. So who are these individuals who have the power to shoot off arrows, and God doesn't want these arrows to be shot off? So instead of mutav sheikaneis hachetz bi v'lo b'banai, instead of God declaring that let these chitzim go into my body, why can't HaKadosh Baruch just simply say, you don't have any right to shoot these arrows at innocent people? And that's the end of the story. Says the Kuznetzer, so the question who actually has the power, the authority, go ahead and shoot these chitzim. The answer is the Makatrig. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Makatrig, and he's the prosecutor. And for the sake of judgment, we have to allow the prosecutor to present his case. And the prosecutor is shooting arrows. What does it mean he's shooting arrows? It doesn't mean literally that he's shooting arrows, but rather he's coming in front of the Kisei HaKavod, and he is shooting arrows in the figurative sense at Klal Yisrael, meaning he's throwing, hurling accusations. Halolo Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Halolo Ovdei Avodah Zarah, why are you prejudiced? Why, God, are you going to show favoritism towards this nation when this nation behaves in the same way that other nations behave? They're idolatrous as well. So the kishrug, the prosecution, is called chetz. And that indicates that chetz shachut l'shono v'kayotze bohen, that with their lashon, in this case the Samael or the Satan is using his mouth, Lishonam, in order to bring the downfall of the Jewish people. Because he's going to be the Mekatreg, he's going to say in front of the Kisei HaKovod, Halolu Avodah Zorah, you have no right to show any sort of prejudice or favoritism towards this nation. They're as bad as all the other nations. So the Mekatreg is looking at Klal Yisrael, and what he sees in front of his eyes is a bunch of idol worshippers. And he comes in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, shooting his arrows, meaning putting forth his claims. Why are you saving these people? And the premise in the argument to the prosecutor is that the Jews and the non-Jews are the same. And this is something, again, and this is my own footnote on the side here, that this is something that recurs throughout our history. People say we're as bad as the other nations. Whatever they're guilty of, we're as, so why do we call ourselves the chosen people and the light amongst nations? We're doing the same thing. So the Kashnitzer says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to receive the chetz. What does that mean? What's the symbolic message here of Hashem saying, let the chetz go into me? And the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being Mesir HaKishrug. He is getting rid of the prosecution. Whatever substance, whatever content, whatever argument the prosecution is putting forward, Hashem is going to reject us. But we're still in the dark. Because what the Avodas Yisrael has not clarified for us is, how does God counter the argument, the chetz, of the Sitra Achra? I mean, after all, halo Avodas Zarah is valolog, they're both doing the same thing. So what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? I'm going to stand in your place, I'm going to be the one to receive all these prosecuting arguments, and I will be Maser Kol Mekatrigim. I'll get rid of all those who are prosecuted. Hashem says, I'll get rid of the prosecution. Yeah, but how? I mean, the prosecutors are saying something that's logical and compelling. You can't just say, well, I'll get rid of the Kitru. What's your counter argument against this prosecutor who's saying that the Jews are worshipping Avodah Zarah, they're no better than the Goyim? That's a pretty good taina. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to say, I'll accept it upon myself. Any argument you put forward, I'll take it. I'll take it on for myself. But the argument is a valid argument. The Jewish people really don't deserve to be redeemed. And in a sense, we could ask the question as a mimanafshach. If the argument of the prosecutor is correct, and we have no merits, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu should capitulate and admit that he has no case. Why is he receiving the chitzim? You know, why is he deflecting all their arguments? And if on the other hand, what the prosecutor is saying is a bunch of malarkey, he's making up some fabrication against the Jewish people, it's all a libel, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to receive the chetz. All he has to do is get rid of the arguments. He doesn't even have to do anything. He just has to say, I'm going to protect my people because they're guiltless. Apparently they're not guiltless. Halolu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll receive the chetz. I'll take the argument. But how? So let's take a look at a very famous medrash. And this you'll see on the bottom left of your first page. At the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, it says, Hamayim Lehem Choma. And the Medrash interprets the word Choma not as a wall, but as Chema, as anger. Samael, right, he's the Satan, he's the Yetzahara. He comes down, and he says in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Klal Yisrael worshipped idols, and now Atah, you God, are doing them Nisim, you're doing miracles. And Hayamashmiya Kolo Lisar Shalyam. That when Samuel raised his voice could be heard straight across the seas, saying, well, why are the Jews worth anything? Why are you doing miracles to save the Jews? V'nismali aleihem chema u'bikesh l'tavon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very angry, and therefore he wants to drown all these let's say, beings that are coming to say, Hashem, why are you doing this? Miyad heshev lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shote shebo'olam. He's talking at a Samuel. V'chi l'daitom avdu. Are you comparing them to the Goyim? Did the Jewish people worship idols out of their own will? Halo lo avdu ela mitoch shibud. U'mitoch tirif adas. For centuries, they've been suffering the oppressive arm of Mitzrayim, and they've been totally subjugated to the point of tirif adas. I mean, it's hard for them to even think clearly. The Ata Don Shoge Kemezin Vionis Kirotzon? What is your underlying premise, my friend Samuel? You're telling me, let's compare the Jews and the non-Jews. They're worshipping of others and they're worshipping of others. Well, there's a fundamental difference, my friend. In the case of the Mitzvah, they're worshipping idols out of a full will, out of full consent. There's nothing compelling them to accept these idols. But in the case of Klal Yisrael, they're under tremendous pressure. They're totally confused by the overwhelming golus and the shibud, and now you're taking them to task because what? Because they worship the avodah zarah? I mean, don't you know the difference between a shogeg and a mezid, between an onus and a ratzon? So what we see here is clearly the Jewish people are guilty, but they're only guilty in a relatively minute way. I mean, if you compare it to Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim accepted Avodah Zarah Miratzon, and the Jewish people accepted Avodah Zarah because they had no choice. Now, you remember, of course, the Gemara in Brachos, that each one of the Amoraim had a special prayer that he composed, and he would add at the end of Shmoneh Esrei. So we're familiar with Rav Alexandria. I mean, again, there are many, many opinions, but Basa de Maxley, when he finishes davening, Omar Hochi used to recite the following verse. Ribon ha'olamin, galui v'yadua lefanecha, sheritzonam lasos ritzonecha. That's a pretty heavy statement. You know, you're saying that I'm watching the Jews worship idols and doing other averos, and you say no, ritzonam lasos ritzonecha. They want to do your will. So wait a second. If they want to do God's will, why are they violating God's will? And the answer is umima akev. Who's preventing them from complying with God's will? Sa'ar shevi isa. Rashi says that sa'ar shevi isa is a reference to shibud malchus. I'm sorry. Sa'ar Shavisa is a reference to the Eitzahara. Vishibud Malchus. In other words, God, we really essentially want to fulfill your will. There are two barriers. One barrier can be classified as Sa'ar Shavisa, meaning the Eitzahara, and that's within. And then there's another challenge, which is called Shibud Malchus, from without, that the religions of the world prevent us from freedom of religion. Now, what we would like to understand is the inner will of a Jew is to fulfill God's will, but he comes to implement God's will, and all of a sudden there are barriers that impede on him and prevent him. We'll use the word, they inhibit him from fulfilling God's will. What are these barriers and who are these barriers? Number one, it's the Eitz HaRa. And number two, it's the Sar Shebe'isa. The Eitz HaRa is that powerful force that comes to entice man to do evil. And that's the source of the Esau. And the Shivat Malchi is when we're ready and willing to implement our Avdus Tashem, the Shivat Malchi says, no, we're going to stop you. We're going to be Meshavid you. You're an Eved to us and not an Eved to him. Basically, what Rav Alexander says is, the Ribbono Shalom, you should have no claim against the Jewish people. Or if at all there's a claim, it should be mitigated. Because when the Jewish people, if the Jewish people could reveal that true inner will, it would be exactly your will. What prevents them and what blocks them are two powerful forces, which you, God, created. One is the Yetzer Hara, and that's within man. And number two is the Pesach, which is outside. So what do we have over here? We have two barriers that are preventing the Jewish people from fulfilling and implementing the will of God. Number one, we have the Yetzer Hara from within. Number two, the Shivat Malchi is from without. And if this be the case, maybe we could begin to understand the whole mashal of the Nesher with the Chitzim. The Makatre is shooting arrows, and he has a claim. I see the Jews as guilty as the non-Jews. They're also worshipping idols. But the answer is, the answer that Rav Alexander goes, Ribbono Shel Olam, Golui V'yadu Lefanecha Sheritzoneinu Lasas Ritzoncha. When the Jews are guilty of idol worship, it's not because they have an inner belief that the idols are true and that's what you should be doing. No, they're under the tremendous pressure of the Sar Shabbi Isa and primarily of the Shibud Malchus. So if that's going to be the counterclaim, we begin to understand the Medrash that we spoke about before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Makatre, Shotim Sheva Olam. When you're looking at, you're gauging and judging the Jewish people by Chitzonius, but what you see to the naked eye, and what you see on the outside, is that they're worshipping idols. But what you fail to do is look into the inside. You don't have the capacity to look into the inside. It's only Ribbono Olam in, as Rav Alexander said. He has the ability to look into man below the surface. And God could understand that the worship of idols was not because of a positive affirmative decision, but rather was because of the tremendous pressures, the influences of Shibud Malchus and Sa'ar Shabisa, the Yetzer Hara within us. So therefore, you're a Shota Shibolam, says the Ribbono Shalom, because you're judging man by your very limited perspective on man. And therefore, you come to the conclusion that Shogig is Chemezin, Onus is like Ratzon. But I, says the Ribbono Shalom, I know the human psyche, and I understand what's going on below the surface. And what you see on the outside, externally, of worship, I know that's not the true, genuine self of the person. The true, genuine self is interested in serving Hashem, to fulfill and implement the will of God. That's the inner life of the Jew. But the outer life of the Jew is completely broken, suppressed by all these influences, all these powerful Yetzer Hara influences from within, and Shibud Malchus influences from without. So therefore, Hashem says, Shota Ba'olam. You don't understand, you have no clue how to evaluate the Maisim of Klal Yisrael. V'chila Daitom Avdua, did they make a decision that we want to worship an idol? Lo avdua ela mitoch shibud, mitoch tirifadas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the bochen klais v'lev, he can see below the surface, and he understands and he knows what motivated a Jew to worship an idol. And in this particular case, what motivated the Jew is Shibud Malchus. So Rabosai, the counter argument against the prosecutor is the following. Don't compare Shogeg to Mezin and Onus to Ratzon. You're looking at the outside, at the Chitzonius, and you don't realize what the pressures are on the inside and what the true will of the Jew is. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares in this Medrash, Mutav Yikane Sachetz Bi. If you have titus against my children, that's not fair. My children are under tremendous pressure. You have titus? Come to titus against me. I'm going to receive the chetz. Why? Because I'm responsible for these two barriers, these two impediments of Shibud Malchus and Siar Shabi Isa. So if you have any kitrug, come to me. But Goli V'Yadua, in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, I can tell you, says God, it's clear to me that the Ratzon, the inner will that defines the essence of a Jew in his nefesh, is to fulfill the will of God. They are not mazed, not even shogeg, maybe they're just onus. Onus means that the pressures are so great that they can't overcome the pressures. And again, when we talk about the pressures from within, and we talk about the Yetzer Hara that's enticing the Jewish people, we can say that the Yetzer Hara shows up in so many different forms and in so many different faces and presents itself in so many different ways. And basically, the Yetzer Hara gets man involved in this world, and he forgets about more, you know, more lofty and spiritual matters that belong to the next world. He gets man into a society where the influences are very negative and drag him down. He makes man repeat his sin time after time, what we call hergel, or what we call getting machur. How do you say it in English? Habituated, or you know, somebody who can't stop smoking. What's it called? He's addicted, right? Addicted. That was the word I was looking for. And it's very hard to break an addiction. I mean, notwithstanding the famous quirk of Mark Twain, the American author, who said, "I can to stop smoking. It's a cinch. I did it 1,000 times." But we get used to something and we get addicted, and it's very hard to break habits. It's very hard to overcome the influences around us and the society. It's very hard to overcome the pressures of climbing the ladder, getting involved in making money and succeeding. And therefore the Sa'ar Shabbi Issa is a very powerful force. But don't tell me that Halolu Avodei Avodah Zarah and Halolu Avodei Avodah Zarah, the Goyim, are given freedom of choice and they decide they want to worship idols. But that's not the case for the Jewish people. Now perhaps we can shed a new light on the concept of Pasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Batei Yisrael B'Nogfo Es Mitzrayim. He says there are three levels of a man, three madrigos of Adam. The highest level of man is the tzaddik, who always behaves with tzidkus, with yosher. He's straight, he applies the Mishpatei HaTorah to his life on the inside and on the outside. And that means the olam yei adam yirishamayim beseser ubegoli. What you see on the outside is what's on the inside. It's all tzidkus, it's all dedication to Hashem. The lowest level on this rung, lowest rung on this ladder, is the Rasha. The Rasha in Machshava, and in Primius, and in Chitzonius, in Maisa, it's all evil. But in the middle, we have a Madrega called a Beinoni. He's right there, halfway between a Tzaddik and a Rasha. What is his desire? His desire is to fulfill the will of God, but because of the influences of Sar Shabbos and Shivan Malchus, therefore they prevent him from realizing his will, his inner will, and his maisim are not up to par, to say the least. His maisim are low tovim. This person is somewhere between the two polar extremes of tov and ra. In Chitzonius, in what we see in the maisim, it's ra. But in Primius, in his inner will, he's still pure and good, and he wants to do the right thing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu jumps over Batei Yisrael. Okay, so for this, we have to add a little bit of drush, of symbolic analysis. The neshama of a person, which is his primius, his real, true inner self, is shall we say, is enrobed or garb, wears the garbs of the physical body. The physical body is the chitzonius, and the neshama represents the pnimius. When a person enters into a bias, he wants protection. He wants a roof over his head. He's got walls that surround him. On top of the bias, as far as protection, meaning in addition to the physical structure of the house, he adds a mezuzah. The mezuzah is meant to be shomer al habayis, to give protection to the house. The guf needs also protection because the guf is exposed to all of the temptations of life. So the guf has the mitzvah of milah. The mitzvah of milah is going to be shomer es haguf and protect the body of man from being allured by the very powerful force of the Eitz Ahara. So what's psicha and what's diluk? What does it mean that God is jumping over? The answer is the key here, the code words here, are bate b'nei Yisrael. What is the bias? The bias represents the chitzonius, the externalities, the guf, the protective goof. But he says the following: HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks beyond the bias. He looks beyond chitzonios, but rather he looks at the pnimius, and he focuses kaviyochel all his attention on the pnimius of man, not on the bias. And herein he finds a gulf, or a gap, if you will, between Klal Yisrael and the Mitzvah, which is endless. And that is that the Mitzvah are worshipping Avodah Zarah not only in Chitzonius, but also in Pnimius. They're completely given over to idol worship. However, the Jew, in his Pnimius, has his Shtokakus to serve Hashem, because that's his heritage, and that's where he comes from. The Avos HaKadoshim. So this concept of Dilug now takes on a whole new meaning. When Rashi says Pesach Hu Lashem, and he says that the carbon is called a carbon Pesach because of the Dilug, what it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided not to take the lives of the Jewish people. And why is God deciding not to do so? He's medaleg al bate Yisrael. He overlooks the bias. The bias represents the goof, represents the chitzonius, the meisim that you can see. God is going to overlook that. He's medaleg al abate, means he's medaleg al chitzonius shel Yisrael. And he won't do that in the case of the mitzvah because their chitzonius is the same. It really just reflects their pnimius. In the case of a Jew, there's a nituk, there's an alienation, if you will, and a separation between the neshama and the bias meaning the guf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to jump over that guf, even though that guf doesn't look so great, halolo of the Avodah Zarah, even though that guf is tempted with the very temptations as all of mankind. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I'm going to jump over the bias. And that means I'm going to look below the surface. I'm going to reveal the true neshama of the Jew and his genuine desire. Rashi says, "Kofetz mi mitzvi lemitzvi v'Yisrael emtzai mimlat." It means that the Jew is an emtzai. That's what Rashi says. He's the middle guy. But what does that mean? It means that his bias is situated between two batim of two shechinim, one on the right side who's an Egyptian and the other on the left side who's an Egyptian. No, it means much more than that. It means that the Jew is called an emtza'i because he's midway through between a tzaddik and a rasha. In pnimius, in his true essence and his desire, he is a tzaddik. But in chitzonius, his maisim look awfully similar to those of the mitzvah. And in such a case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I'm going to put my emphasis and I'm going to focus on the pnimius. I'm going to look at Klal Yisrael from the perspective of their inner will. and I'm going to be poseach al batei Yisrael, the batei representing the chitzonis. And all this is bizchus ha-pesach. The Karban Pesach is the physical manifestation or representation of this concept of God is judging the Jewish people by looking at their pnimius. And Mimela, if that's what the Karban Pesach is all about, the Pesach of the Karban Pesach, then the Pesach ends, according to Rashi, with Atem Asu Kol Avodos of L'Shem Shemayim. Let's not make any mistake thinking that it's enough to serve Hashem only in pnimius. That's not an option. We have to understand that we have to serve Hashem not only in pnimius, but also in maisim chitzonim, in the external world, works or actions of this world. So what it means is the following. Again, you know, many Jews claim, well, look at my pnimius. You know, I'm a good Jew at heart. And that could be the counter argument against the Kategor at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so compassionate that he's willing to jump over the Batei Yisrael that represent the Chitzonius and look at the pnimius. But there's a proviso here. There's a limit. He can't go to the end of the world and say, well, you know what, I'm going to do every single Aveira, and God's going to say, okay, fine, what's your pnimius? No, it doesn't work like that. Atem asu kol avodos l'shem shamayim. Take this Karban Pesach, which represents the pnimius, and convert it, transform it into chitzonius, and make it into an avodah, and neida ne'emon shetzarach l'avodas Hashem gam b'maisach b'chitzonius. Let everyone know that the service of Hashem is not limited to the pnim, but it extends to include the chutz as well. And that's what the bias could mean. The bias means a physical place which becomes a place for Kedusha. And if our pnimius is the way it should be, then Hashem could look at the bias and say, you know what, the bias is just as good. It really reflects that which is inside, that which is b'pnimius. And that's the neshama of the Jew, that Ritzoni Lasas Ritzonecha. So it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll make a deal with you. I'm willing to overlook the bias, the physical goof, and all its pleasures and all its motivations. I'm willing to look at the neshama. But you, the Jewish nation, you have to do your part as well. You have to make sure that you're avodos l'shem shamayim. Don't think that in Chitzonius the maisim are not important, because at the end of the day, God looks to the heart and to the pnimius. No, the chitzonius has to be on the up, 100%. The maisim have to be perfect. Shatem asu kol avodos of l'shem shemayim. Every avodah that you do, it's got to be l'shem shemayim. Let me just give an introduction to the next part of this essay, and then we'll end it here. Moshe Rabbeinu adds another command to that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. The Atem lo teitzu ish mi pesach beso ad aboker. Ramaz lehem Moshe she yischavu im anakuda primis shebeliba. What you have to do is you have to link up your chitzonius with that nakuda primis. Harei b'chines odom hanimtzo b'fnim b'toch habayis shehu aguf hachitzonius. Man is within, he's inside the bias representing the physical goof, and man is a separate entity, he's inside the house, he's getting protection. It means that man, on the one hand, is inside the house itself is the goof chitzoni, man has a pnim, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, Al teitzu ish mi pesach beiso mi bachutz. Your chitzonius was not the way it should be. And Moshe Rabbeinu was implying a critique against Klal Yisrael. What you need is al yetzei ish mimkoma. Because when you go out of the pnim into the realm, the sunlight of chutz, now all your maisim become obvious that you haven't lived up to the calling and to the mandate of L'shem Shamayim. So therefore, Al Teitzei Ish Mi Pesach Beso means don't go out there and think that, you know, you're Al Pesach Beso, you're okay, but rather make sure that your Chitzonius is also going to be Shlema, B'Shlema is like your Pnim, and you will remain totally connected, both in mind and in attitude and in agenda and everything that you aspire for, to the pnimius, the nekuda pnimius, which is b'toch habayis. Al yetzei ish mi pesach beiso. If the bayis is the symbolic image of the guf, then the inside of the house represents below the surface of the guf the essence of man, and that is his nekuda pnimius. Never leave the bayis. Never leave the protection of this nekuda pnimius. And then, ultimately, in Mirtz Hashem, your Maisim B'chitzonius will be a reflection of your Pnim, and you will not get involved in any actions which would be considered as sinful and shameful to you. Recap, we had a question here about Pesach Hu L'Hashem. And what does it mean, L'Hashem? Rashi says, Shekol Avodosav Liyu L'Shem Shemayim. What does that have to do with the description and the name of the Karban as a Karban Pesach? The answer is, this Karban Pesach represents God's compassion, in which He looks at the Pnim, He looks at the Ritzoneinu Lasos Ritzoncha, and therefore He's willing to jump over the bias if the bias represents the Chitzonius. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells us that this is a two-way street over here. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being compassionate and He's willing to overlook the Chitzonius and your Maisim, Halolu Avdei Avodah Zarah, He's looking towards the Pnim, then, you know what? Kol Avodos of L'Shem Shamayim. Now you have to begin to do the Avodah, which means the Maisim HaChitzonim L'Shem Shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to skip over, meaning to overlook, but you have to do this, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Al teitze ish mi pesach beso mi bachutz." Okay, then that's what we have.
For example, on Gimel,
yeah,
Ish Gimel, he says, "Rav Zekia Mashkes shenitna l'rishus chavul eni adam machshavos mnei adam." But if you say "Hainu satan, Hainu yetzer hara," then he does know, because he's working at that in order to stir the person, in order to stir the person, in order to get the person to
trip
right
up the person.
So, how does the Rav understand that? I mean, Hashem is saying you don't know what the machshava of the person is. The Satan's tachlis, the tachlis of the Yetzer Hara, is to get the person to have the wrong machshava, to mix him up, to think about whatever he's thinking that's an aveira.
Yeah, let me give me a minute, Yudi, to. Let me just collect my thoughts here. From the perspective of the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Hara places, as we say, temptations and impediments. But his perspective is that man is guilty. What do I mean? There are nuances and layers of pnimius which are way beyond the understanding, the wisdom of the Yetzer Hara. For sure the Yetzer Hara knows that he is the Tsar Shebi'isa par excellence. He's responsible for 50% of the failures of man. But he thinks that man has failed. In his judgment, he succeeded. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do what he has to do. He's the Shliach HaKel. He tempted man, and man fell. Man ate the bait. Therefore, he's guilty. Has the Yerushalmi say Nefesh HaChotasi Tomus? The Yetzer Hara hands down a verdict of guilty. Yeah, of course, the Yetzer Hara has to give him some temptation. Otherwise, man, especially the Jew, is pure in heart and soul. He wants to do only good. So the Yetzer Hara is there to make it a little bit of a balance. And after the Yetzer Hara does what he does, man is in a state of a balance. You know, he has this push to do good and that push to do evil. But at the end of the day, he chose, man chose to do evil. And therefore comes the kitshuk of the Satan, and he says man should be doomed by his ultimate decision and the action that he implemented. Comes along God and he says, you know what? You're a shaita shabolam. You don't know the nuances and the layers and layers and the complexity of personality and character and allurements and outside pressures and inside pressures. You don't know any of that. Only I could know that. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could penetrate deep down below the surface, even beyond man's own capacity to project out below the surface. And maybe that's why Hashem says to the Mekatrik, don't send your arrows to Klal Yisrael. Maybe even Klal Yisrael will have to admit guilt and they won't be able to defend themselves. But I know better. I know the Ritzoni Lasos Ritzonecha. And I can evaluate whether man is guilty or not. And therefore, leave it to me and I will receive your chitza. Let's just mention the Balatanya in Likutei Amorim. He says, a Kol Echad Miyisrael, Afilu poshim v'kalei das yeshlem yerusha neshama taorim in aovas hakadoshim el shenekuda zuhi v'b'chinas tardema v'hav le'olam hazeh v'al kasher hi v'soreres ki oz kol echad miso muchan limsar nafsho al kedusha sashem. So that's again this idea of the nekuda pnimis which the Jew has inherited from his forefathers. And the Medrash tells us on the pasuk v'igatem al amashkof b'schus Avram el shtei amezuzos b'schus Yitzchak u'b'schus Yaakov u'b'schus Avroas Adam v'lo yiten hamashkes. So it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to put the dam on the Pesach habayis, on the mashkof, on the shtei mezuzos, and these correspond to the ovos in order to be ma'orer the nekuda pnimis, that's the neshama inside the guf. The guf is nimshal abayis, as we said before, and there in the neshama inside the guf, mishtokek ish Yisrael avodas Hashem, may a neshama sheyirusha min ha'avos hakadoshim. And that's what the true will and desire of man is, based on the legacy and the genetic code that he received from his avos, from the avos hakadoshim, and the dam al hamashkof and so forth is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to jump over the bias and instead look at me, look at the Jew inside the bias, his pnimius and his neshama. When Moshe Rabbeinu hears this, he understands with his great wisdom and his great chachma that he should tell Klal Yisrael, Lekachtem agudas ezov, tevalta bedam asher besafik, etc., etc. He wants to be ma'arer, ma'orer, he wants to wake up from the slumber of the Nekuda Pnimis, which was the Yerusha from the Avos HaKadoshim, and therefore he adds, V'atem lo teitzu ish mi Pesach beisad boker. Don't go out of the Dveikus in your Pnimis. Stay within your Pnimis. Stay connected to your inner soul, your inner neshama. Because as far as the body is concerned, on the outside, externally, you are not yet ready. You're not yet at the point of Tachlis HaShlevus. And therefore, when Rav Yosef darshins that Moshe Rabbeinu added a Hosafa here, and he said, Atem lo teitzu ish mi Pesach beso ad boker kevin shenit na reshus l'mashkes enu mavke mein tzadik l'rosha, what it really means is that the mashkes has reshus l'chabel, and he doesn't know Machsheves Pnei Odom. He doesn't know this Pnim Shebe Pnim that we spoke about before, those nuances. Therefore, he assumes that man is guilty as charged, because after all, B'chitzonius, the actions are clearly criminal actions. And therefore, he punishes any man who sinned, even if his Pnim is Tov, even though he's a tzaddik on the inside. What it means is Kevin Shenitner Rishus Lamashkes LaHashkes Einu Mavkin Beit Tzadikim V'Shoyim. It means he doesn't make the Havchana; he just goes in and punishes. And we're talking about these people are the Mamutza people, the Beinanim, who are between the Tzadik and the Rasha. And Moshe Rabbeinu therefore has to warn them: Al Yetsa Ishmi Pesach Beso, don't leave the Pnimius. But as far as the Tzadik Gomer is concerned, he didn't sin, and even his Maisim are pure. Then it's clear that the Yetzer doesn't have, the Satan doesn't have any shlita, any control over the real tzaddik. Let's go back to the Ben Harosha. Ma avodas os lochem, lochem v'lo lo. We have to strengthen the Rosha. We have to give him chizuk. We have to tell him, don't give up hope. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to give you consolation. V'amartem. You should say to yourself, in a soft voice, and get chizuk from it, Zevach Pesach Hu Lashem, Asher Posach Al Botei B'nei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim, B'Nog Fos Mitzrayim V'Espeiteinu Hitzil. HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipped over the Botei B'nei Yisrael, the Chitzonius. He understood that if they worshipped Avodah Zarah, that was in Chitzonius, that was Botei B'nei Yisrael. Instead, God goes below the surface and he looks to the previous. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that man, the Jew, is Ritzoni Lasset Ritzonecha. And in that schus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved B'nai Yisrael. He gave them a way to do tshuva. This is what we want to tell the Ben HaRosha. And therefore, Vayikor Ra'om Vayishtachu, says Rashi, Al Besoras HaBonim, they got a Besora Tova, that even the Ben HaRosha, he has a previous that is a Nekuda Tova Yerushim and Ovas HaKadoshim. And therefore, as far as the, or relative to the concept of the Nekuda Pnimis, even the Rasha is willing and capable of being Moser Nafshal Kedushas Hashem. Right now, he's in a state of Tardema, he's asleep, he's in slumber. But ultimately, he will be Zocha to awaken that Nekuda Pnimis within it from Tardema, and he'll be Ma'or himself to Tshuva. So what do we say to the Ben HaRosha in the Haggadah? Afato Hake Yeshinov. What does it mean, Afato Hake Yeshinov? We said, Armatim Zevet Pesach Hashem. So if you take a look at the tshuva of the Ben HaChacham, you'll get a clue as to what this tshuva that we give to the Ben HaRosha is all about. But for that, we need more time. So let's make a note of where we got to. And hopefully we'll be able to finish this Bli Neder at some time in the future.